ओके 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 नो आई एम गोइंग टू स्टार्ट Okay, let's text 23. Okay, so we're going to see how Narada Muni life, previous life, is going to narrate to his disciple.
It's better to ask them to watch the YouTube.
Mataji, can you watch the Ustream? Mataji, can you watch the Ustream?
There is any internet connection Ustream.
What happened? You are not able to watch the video, right? Audio,
yeah, but audio is clear, Prabhu. You same, I don't know. Okay, let me go check this thing.
Okay, then your class is starting, so you hear the audio then. Maybe next, tomorrow's class you can do that.
Okay. All right, let's start. Aham purati tabave bhavam muni dasya sukasya chana vedavadinam nirupita balaka eva yoginam shushrusane pravrishi nirvivikshatam. Translation: O Muni, in my past life, in the last millennium, I was born as the son of a certain maidservant engaged in the service of Brahmanas who were following the principles of Vedanta. When they were living together during the 4 months of the rainy season, I was engaged in their personal service. So here Prabhupada starts, the wonder of an atmosphere surcharged with devotional service of the Lord is briefly described herein by Sri Narada Muni. He was a son of the most insignificant parentage, Prabhupada says. But Narada Muni is special. He was not properly educated. Still, because his complete energy was engaged in the service of the Lord, he became an immortal sage. Such is the powerful action of devotional service. So he is glorifying the devotional service. How good it is. So you will find that there is no cause for pure bhakti other than bhakti itself or the mercy of the devotees. So it's not through austerity or any other process. It's through the association of devotees and their mercy. So to show the importance of bhakti, Narada Muni is recounting his past life so that we understand how he became such a great personality. Okay, so they were practicing, these Brahmanas were practicing principles of Vedanta, or they were actually doing devotional service. That's what it is. Okay, so let's go to text 24. ते माया पिता किला चापले अर्बके दंते दृता क्रीदनके नुवर्तिनी चक्रु कृपां यद्यपि तुल्यदशना शुश्रूषमाने मुनयो अल्पभाषिनी. Although they were impartial by nature, those followers of the Vedanta blessed me with their causeless mercy. So they gave blessing. As far as I was concerned, I was self-controlled and had no attachment for sports, even though I was a boy. In addition, I was not naughty and I did not speak more than required. Okay. What happened, Hari? So you can see how he as a child also, he had good qualities. So he had controlled his senses and he also had given up being a child. Okay, so they saw that in the quality, I mean in Narada Muni's quality. So they were kind of impressed by that, even though they were not, they saw everything the same, good and bad. Still, they saw something in him, so they showed mercy to him. Sometimes, even though they can see, you know, everything's equal, these great sages can still give mercy, even though they see everyone equal, causeless mercy. Right? This is causeless. That's the Lord sanctions it. It can happen. So this is an amazing thing. So here, Prabhupada writes in the purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, all the Vedas are searching after me. Vedesya sarva aham eva vedu. Lord Sri Chaitanya says that in the Vedas, the subject matters are only three, namely to establish the relation of the living entities with the personality of Godhead, perform the relative duties in devotion service, and thus achieve the ultimate goal back to Godhead. Okay. As such, Vedantavadis, or the followers of the Vedanta, indicate the pure devotees of the personality of Godhead. Such Vedantavadis or the Bhakti Vedantas are impartial in distributing the transcendental knowledge of devotional service. Why? Because to them no one is enemy or friend. They see everyone equally. They don't say you have to be educated or uneducated. They just give. The Bhakti Vedantas see that people in general are wasting time in false sensuous things. Their business is to get the ignorant mass of people to re-establish their lost relationship with the personality of Godhead. Generally, when you see something good in somebody, then you want to actually bless people, no? Isn't it? That's a typical kind of mercy. You see someone good, they're trying hard, then you want to. But if you see something bad or what, you cannot go and give mercy. No? But you can see the Bhakti Vedantas, they are not like that. Even if they see bad qualities, they will. They don't see it as bad. They just want to see this person. Give mercy like that. So that's the difference. Materially, when we are influenced, when we see someone good, nice, hardworking, then we give mercy. If somebody is bad and not doing well, we develop hatred towards those things. It's material lifestyle. We are conditioned. But here you can see how the Bhakti Vedantas was watching and seeing things. They had a different way, and that's this is the second type of mercy. The first type of mercy is you pick and choose who you want to give mercy. The second type of mercy is like the Bhakti Vedantas. Srila Prabhupada says how such personalities can see that people in general are wasting time in false sensuous things. Just wasting time in that. And therefore they want to make these ignorant people get re-established with the Lord. So that's why they give the mercy like that. Okay. So, Prabhupada says this is how they initiated the boy, and he became self-controlled and he was detached from playing games and he doesn't talk so much. Okay? Right? Okay, so then Prabhupada says in the Varnashram system, that's the beginning of actual human life. Small boys after 5 years of age are sent to become brahmachari at the guru's ashrama. So Srila Prabhupada also says, when the children are up to 5 years old, you show them a lot of affection. You show a lot of love and affection. After that, for the boys, at least some strictness, discipline should be there. Up to the age of maybe 15, 16, like that, depending on how advanced... Yeah, how the child is, how advanced or how child is the child is, then the father becomes
like a friend.
Like a friend. And then he guides them like that. Yeah. But with the girls, the parents should always show love all the way, because one day you're going to marry them away, right? So therefore, affection should be there all the way. And then they will always remember how my father took care of me like that. So that way the husband's supposed to take care of the wife. So they're always protected. So even when they are not at home, out of the love and affection, they will not go and do anything silly. The girls, they will always think my parents' loving relation is there, so they will not do that. But if you always shout at the girl, she will feel unprotected. So she will look for somebody to go to. So that's why in Vedic culture they don't do that. Huh? Okay, so training is very important. In the ashrams they do train. Huh? And the girls are always trained at home. And then they are taught how to, you know, keep clean, how to cook and so on. So same thing, the boys in the Gurukul also, how to keep clean, how to chant mantras, how to behave. All those things are taught, etiquettes and so on. Prabhupada says, the training in the ashram was compulsory not only to create good citizens of the state, but also to prepare the boy's future life for spiritual realization. So both things were given in the ashram, materials, education as well as spiritual education. Okay, so that they take responsibilities. The irresponsible life of sense enjoyment was unknown to the children of the followers of the Varnashram system. What does it mean? Nowadays it's prominent, yeah. The boy was even injected with spiritual acumen before being placed by the father in the womb of the mother. Both the father and the mother were responsible for the boy's success in being liberated from the material bondage. That is the process of successful family planning. So basically, parents must give the child knowledge of Krishna consciousness. That's the most important thing. The secondary thing is how to survive in the material world. But it's all upside down now. So all material thing first, you know, sense enjoyment, yay, do that. No, spiritual life is most important. And you find that when they have spiritual life, they don't get disturbed by the material problem so much. They are able to adjust better. But if you are taught the other way around, then they cannot adjust and they go crazy. So you have so much crazy people in the world. You know, previously in the Varnashram system, you don't have any psychiatrists all, you know. Now everywhere, so many, right? Psychologists, psychiatrists, every third person. So that's a lot, man. So if I say every third, not here, right? Psychiatrists also. Actually, their job is one of the worst jobs. Actually, yeah. So any job you do, you take some reaction. So as a psychiatrist, you take a lot of reaction. And so they are not even chanting Hare Krishna. So they are all crazy also. Anyway, but if they are pious, they can overcome such things. Yeah. Okay. So children are meant for complete perfection. Huh? Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada indirectly says, don't have children. It is to beget children for complete perfection. Okay. Because we have to train them. Without being self-controlled, without being disciplined, and without being fully obedient, no one can become successful in following the instructions of the spiritual master. And without doing so, no one is able to go back to Godhead. So it is not that after a while you don't feel the pushings of the senses. It will be there until you die. It's just that we are not interested. Okay, we are more interested in Krishna and pleasing Krishna and Guru. So don't think it's gone. Even Srila Prabhupada said, right, when the disciples say, it's not that I don't think about it anymore. Yeah. Okay, so
Yamunacharya said.
Yeah, he also don't want to think about it.
I think one person came to Prabhupada and said that I don't have any desires or particular thing. He says you need to go and see a doctor because that is unusual. It will be there, but you need to control.
Mm. Yeah, the point is we control, not that, you know, you give it up. Like, it's not like that. We just control it. But we have a higher taste, so we don't worry about those lower tastes. We are happy chanting, we are happy doing seva at the temple like that. We are happy doing that. That should be the way the senses are engaged. Right? Sarvopadi Vinirmuktam Tatparadvena Nirmalam Rishikesh Rishikesh Sevanam Bhakti Uchyate. So all senses are engaged when you serve Rishikesh, okay? The master of senses. Text 25. Uchistale panumodito dijai sakritsma bunje tarapasta kilbishaha evam pravrittasya vishuddha chetasas taddharma evadma ruchi prajayate. Once only, by their permission, I took the remnants of their food, and by so doing, all my sins were at once eradicated. Thus being engaged, I became purified in heart, and at that time, the very nature of the transcendentalist became attractive to me. So here you can see, it's like amazing thing that happened. Eh? So he got a permission, and then he ate something. And then by that, all the obstacles were gone. That apasta klibisha, kilbisha. Everything was destroyed. Just taking their remnants, the Mahaprasadam. And he said, without effort, bhakti became in the form of hearing. Thus, being engaged, I became purified in the heart. And then he started to be near them. Everything about them became very attractive to him. Prabhupada writes, pure devotion is as much infectious in a good sense as infectious diseases. Yeah. A pure devotee is cleared from all kinds of sins. The person who got it is the purest entity. Unless one is equally pure from the infection of material qualities, one cannot become a pure devotee of Lord. So we have to give up material things. Ultimately, we cannot keep saying this problem, that problem, I have this responsibility. It's actually all excuse. It's actually saying I don't want to take up or become a pure devotee. So we have to come to the point of saying that's it. No, I really want to serve Krishna. In at least within the heart, that desire should be so strong. Externally, you do your duties. You know, so like that, then Krishna will bring us closer and closer to Him. The Bhakti Vedantas, as above mentioned, were pure devotees, and the boy became infected with their qualities of purity by their association and by eating once the remnants of the foodstuff taken by them. So simply taking the remnants of a pure devotee will actually bring us to a higher platform. So whenever like all the Maharajas, Sannyasis come, if we can get a chance to get their Mahaprasadam, you know, by all means do so. But it should be with devotees who are practicing, not for give to outside people who are not practicing. That won't be good for the gurus and so on. Such remnants may be taken even without permission of the pure devotees. Here, he asked permission, Narad Muni, as a boy, out of respect. And they said, okay. But Prabhupada says, don't ask permission, you take. There are sometimes pseudo devotees, and one should be very much cautious about them. Okay, so pseudo devotion people are not strictly following, and if you take their remnants, then you have problem. There are many things which hinder one from entering devotional service. But by the association of pure devotees, all these obstacles are removed. So all the excuses in our heart, they won't be there. So we will faithfully, sincerely and truthfully perform the devotional activities. So, infection of the qualities of the pure devotee means to imbibe the taste of pure devotion always in the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. That means you are able to hear nice things about the Lord. You want to hear all the time and you have a taste for it. This transcendental taste at once makes all material things distasteful. So that's, again, I said that, no? as you make advancement, you will find you have lack of interest in material things. It will come naturally. You have to let it go, let material taste go when you find that you don't have so much. Don't try to go back and try to taste more because it's useless. You know? Therefore, a pure devotee is not at all attracted by material activities. So what is he attracted to? Service to Krishna. Yeah. After the elimination of all sins or obstacles on the path of devotion service, one can become attracted, one can have steadiness, one can have perfect taste. See, this is all the steps in the two pure devotion service. One can have transcendental emotions, and at last one can be situated on the plane of loving service. So from Shraddha to Prema. All these stages developed by the association of pure devotion, and that is the purport of this stanza. It's a very nice Rishula. So, you know, he's talking about the, you know, all the different stages, sadhu sangha, anartha nivritti, bhajana kriya, all those things, ruchi, nishta, ashakti, bhava, and then prema. Text 26. Tatranvaham Krishna katha pragayatam anugrahenashvinavam manohara. Tashradayamenupadam vishninvata priyashravasyanga mama bhavadruchi. Taste. O Vyasadev, in that association and by the mercy of those great Vedantis, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna, and thus listening attentively, my taste for hearing of the personality of Godhead increased at every step. There you go, proof. Then if you hear nicely, chant nicely, we are going to get this taste. This is proof. He is showing. Yeah? Narada Muni has gone through this and he's telling us we can do it. Don't show the finger. Prabhu has fractured? Yeah? Okay. Come in, sit down. Come in. Oh, he won't show his siddhi. Okay, sit down. What happened?
You
sit the next. Okay. So at every moment or every hearing, Narada Muni is feeling great attraction. Amazing feeling here. Because he's every step, you know, it's like very close to like Baba. He's feeling that, no? Because in the previous stage, he said he had already had taste. So here he's going beyond taste. So this must be Rati. So he must be at that very high stage already. Very quickly he's at that stage. Okay? So Srila Prabhupada writes, the Lord is, you know, attractive not only in His personal features, but also in His transcendental activities. Everything about the Lord is so amazing, it is so attractive. And He's absolute, not just because He's absolute, He's absolute, His name is absolute, His fame, form, past, because everything about Him is absolute, hearing about any aspects of Him is also absolute and it's purifying. And he, as again Srila Prabhupada says, the Lord descends on this material out of His causeless mercy. Not because somebody said, please come, He comes. No, it's His mercy. He desires to do it. And displays His various transcendental pastimes as a human being so that human beings are attracted towards Him and then able to go back to Godhead. And then Srila Prabhupada says men are naturally apt to hear histories and narration. That means people in general like to hear all these things, some stories and so on, of different personalities, right? Like Steve Jobs and so on. But they don't understand the proper rights. Without knowing that by such association, one simply wastes valuable time. And also becomes addicted to the three qualities of mundane nature. So, it's not that you can't read about personalities and so on, but you have to be careful. But if you know why you're reading about a certain thing, if it's not connected to Krishna, then it's dangerous. Because we get relaxed. You want to know about him, for example, Steve Jobs. Right, read about him, but see how you can use that information for Krishna. Otherwise, that reading will just only brings you down to mundane level. Then you get entangled in the three modes of material nature. So, Srila Prabhupada says, why waste the time? Why don't you just hear about Krishna's pastime, read about Krishna's pastime? Ultimately, you know, why don't we all just chant if we have time? Right? Like, for example, you do 16 rounds. After your 16 rounds, if you have so much time, why don't you do extra rounds? I mean, for those who have more time. Right? Or if you, even now, let's say you finish now, you do many things, at the end of the day, you still can chant more. Nothing wrong with it. There's no law says that cannot chant. You can chant, because it's going to only help us clear more of our contamination in the hearts. So Prabhupada writes there, by hearing the narration of the person of the Lord, one contacts directly the personality of Godhead. So when we hear any pastime of Krishna or his associates, we are there. Actually, we are there. So that's the other way we have to develop our consciousness, to know that we are actually having an association with the Supreme Lord. Just like when we are talking about who? And? And Vyasadeva also is sitting there, you know, Sutta Goswami is sitting there, Shonaka and all the sages and Amisha. We are there with them. We become aware that we are there with them. Then you can understand, yes, you are then directly experiencing it. But if you can't think like that, then we are not able to connect with the Lord. Eh? Because why? We have too much in our mind, too much worried about SAP coding or C or whatever, like that. Thus, being cleared of all sins, the hearer gradually becomes liberated from mundane association and becomes attracted to the features of the Lord. So again, Srila Prabhupada shows how once you get liberated from mundane association, you become more attracted to Krishna. Narada Muni has just explained this by his personal experience. So therefore we should be able to appreciate that Narada Muni was willing to give us this information. One can attain the highest perfection like simply by attentive hearing of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord from the right sources, as Sri Narada heard them from the pure devotees Bhaktivedanta. So we should always hear from senior devotees when they come, you know, Maharaja, Sannyasi, so go and listen. Try to listen. If you can't do like you're all doing, you stream, just hear something. Even every Sunday, just listen. Something you should. If you don't listen during the day, any lecture or what, then you should be there listening in the night. But if you ever feel that you are better, then there's problem. Yeah, you need to get rid of that kind of feeling, because nowhere we hear that kind of instruction. Correct or not? We didn't hear any, we didn't see Narada Muni saying, oh, I've heard enough from the pure devotees. You know, I got tired of hearing every day. He didn't say that, right? For 3 months or what? Chaturmasya, 4 months, no? He's listening to them completely. No complaints. In fact, he said it became more and more nectar, joyful. So this process of hearing the associate devotees is especially recommended in this age of quarrel, Kali Yuga. So, Sankirtan, Yajna. So, that's what we are supposed to do. Text 27. Tasmin stadalabdaruche mahamate priyasvavasya askalita matir mama yayaham etat sat asat swamayaya vasye mai brahmani kalpitam pare. What happened? Translation. O great sage, as soon as I got a taste for the personality of Godhead, my attention to hear of the Lord was unflinching. And as my taste developed, I could realize that it was only in my ignorance that I had accepted gross and subtle coverings, for both the Lord and I are transcendental. Very fast, the realization. He directly experiences it. His gross and subtle bodies created by the Lord. He can experience that. He could realize that I had accepted. That means he can actually feel his body is all not him. Huh? This is amazing description he's giving us. So his intelligence is so strong at this moment that he is so fixed in the Lord. And you could see how he is existing in the material world. Prabhupada writes, ignorance in material existence is compared to darkness, and in all Vedic literatures, the personality of Godhead is compared to the sun. Wherever there is light, there cannot be darkness. Hearing of the Lord's pastimes is itself transcendental association with the Lord, because there is no difference between the Lord and his transcendental pastimes. To become associated with the supreme light is to dissipate all ignorance. By ignorance only, the conditioned soul wrongly thinks that both he and the Lord are products of material nature. So this is a lot of mistakes a lot of people make. Mayavadi, so many people, they think the Lord and us are all material. Because why? We are so much associating with matter. And because of that, we think everything is matter, including the Lord. But look at what Narada Muni says. Huh? Kalpitam pare. He's saying transcendence. Both the Lord and I are transcendental. He can immediately figure it out at this moment that he is not this body anymore. It's an amazing realization. So Prabhupada writes later on, the gross body should be engaged in acts of rendering service to the Lord, as in bringing water, cleansing the temple, or making obeisances, etc. Etc. means service and other thing, not just do these two, three things and go. No? So some of you will say, oh, I'll just do obeisance and go back.
Ambarish Maharaj describes.
Yeah, Ambarish Maharaj, doing all the things. So do service, go and do. The path of archana, or worshipping the Lord in the temple, involves engaging one's gross body in the service of the Lord. So when you're doing service, it's for the Lord. So whenever you go to temple, you must understand you're doing it for the Lord. It's not for anyone else. It's not for anybody's pratishtha. You are doing it as a service to the Lord. It's an exchange. It's called loving exchange. Okay? It's a loving exchange. We are supposed to do it because you love the Lord. Even if somebody tells, it's not for them. You're doing it for the love of Lord. For the love of God, you're doing it. Similarly, the subtle mind should be engaged in hearing the transcendental pastimes of Lord, thinking about them, chanting His name, etc. So that's why we have to chant very sincerely, carefully, and hear properly. Otherwise, the mind is going to cheat us. It's going to cheat us, and it will cheat us and cheat us. That's all the mind wants to do. Actually, the mind wants to enjoy. So it wants to enjoy through your senses. So to control that, it will fight you. And as long as you don't control your mind to chant properly, it's going to give you hell all your life. Right? So we don't want to let the mind cheat us. So chanting is very important, particularly for us, all of us. We have to chant nicely and sincerely. All such activities are transcendental. None of the gross or subtle senses should otherwise be engaged. That means we must only be engaged in service of Krishna. So anything you do, you must see it to be connecting to Krishna. Whatever mundane activities you think you're doing, somehow try to connect it to Krishna. That's what the point is. Such realization of transient activities is made possible by many, many years of apprenticeship in devotional service. But simply attraction of the love for the person of God as it was developed in Narada Muni by hearing is highly effective. So either you take many, many births to get the devotional service, or you try to hear nicely and get simple, fast attraction. Srila Prabhupada is saying. Isn't that amazing? Next 28. So Narada continues. Ittam sharad pravrishika rito hare vishrin vato menu sabham yasho malam sankirtyamana munibe mahatma bir bhakti pravrittatma rajastamopaha. Thus, during two seasons, the rainy season and autumn, I had the opportunity to hear this great soul, the sages, constantly chant the unadulterated glories of the Lord Hari. As the flow of my devotional service began, the coverings of the modes of passion and ignorance vanished. So that means two seasons means?
4 months.
Okay. Rainy season 2 months, autumn 2 months. Something like that. Yeah. So he heard constantly. Anusavam, so constantly. And then bhakti. Bhakti here means prema, which destroys rajas and tamas. So prema appeared as soon as Raja and Tamas went. As the flow of my devotional service began, the coverings of modes of passion vanished. So prema is starting to appear. So he's going to experience direct vision of the Lord. Again, Prabhupada says, transcendental loving service for the Supreme Lord is the natural inclination of every living being. Not just service, but it is loving service. Right? We think service, then we don't like. But it's actually supposed to be very loving, happily performed. Not just because somebody is telling you you're doing. You're doing it because you want to do it. Right? Again, think about it. Why are you coming to Krishna consciousness? Why? Why you want to be here? Do you want Krishna or you want something? Think about that, and then you try to practice whenever you chant. Think about all this. Why am I chanting? Okay. Then Prabhupada then says, the instinct to love, to do trying is dormant in everyone. But due to the associated material nature, the modes of passion and ignorance cover this from time immemorial. Since the time we came into this material universe, creation, we have been covered, and therefore we don't do these things. So it's been covered. Even that instinct is covered. Generally, instinct is spontaneous, but that is covered. So then Prabhupada says, if by the grace of the Lord, it's not that you will get it, but it, by the mercy of the Lord and the great soul devotees of the Lord, a living being becomes fortunate enough to associate with the unadulterated devotees of the Lord and gets a chance to hear the unadulterated glories of the Lord, certainly the dormant instinct of devotional service is at once awakened. That's a long sentence. And the flow of devotional service takes place like the flow of a river. So it rushes automatically. As soon as you give up all this attachment material, it just bursts. You're supposed to have so much love for Krishna, it cannot be stopped, like a river flowing. Then Prabhupada says, as the river flows on till she reaches the sea, similarly pure devotional service flows by the associated pure devotees till it reaches the ultimate goal, namely transcendental love of God, which is pure prema. And he says such a flow of devotional service cannot stop. Once you hit prema, it doesn't stop. And he says, on the contrary, increases more and more. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. Okay, ever increasing. The flow of devotion is so potent that any onlooker also becomes liberated from the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance. So there you go, a secret to preaching. If you do it sincerely, you will get the taste, and with your taste, you can attract other people. It says any onlooker also becomes liberated. These two qualities of nature are thus removed, and the living being is liberated. What qualities? Modes of passion and ignorance removed. The living entity then becomes situated in its original position. Very powerful. You can see how strong he is, Prabhupada is writing in all this. Purports. See, if you raise the children like that, they always talk about Krishna is better, right? Just imagine if they are not in this family like that, they'll be talking some stupid thing, right? They'll be talking something. Text 29. Tasyaiva me nuraktasya prasritasya hatayana saha
dantasya balasya
dantasya nucharasya cha. I was very much attached to those sages. I was gentle in behavior and all my sins were eradicated in their service. In my heart, I had strong faith in them. I had subjugated the senses and I was strictly following them with body and mind. He's following the sages. So he was very attached to the sages because they were very loving. The sages treated them very nicely. So the same way when you're preaching, you have to have loving. You cannot treat people very harshly or whatever. Narada Muni says, I was gentle in behavior and all my sins were eradicated in this service. We have to be strong about principles, but when we relate to people, we have to be very soft, gentle and nice with people. You should be heavy with yourself, but soft with others, actually. Not heavy with others and soft with yourself. That's not the idea. So when you do that, you can see how attracted he was by the sages, because they were very gentle to him also. And when you are gentle to someone, they become gentle also. Right? It's normal. So these are very important. Prabhupada writes, these are the necessary qualifications of a prospective candidate who can expect to be elevated to the position of a pure, unadulterated devotee. Such a candidate must always seek the association of pure devotees. That means you should seek the association of devotees who are always practicing nicely. Whoever follows Prabhupada's instruction is following the footsteps of a pure devotee. They are in the path of pure devotion service. They may not appear pure, but they are following, they are guaranteed to become pure. So therefore, we should always associate with people who are practicing purely. One should not be misled by a pseudo devotee. This is like the second time or third time Prabhupada writes that. That means don't be a pretender, mithyachara. He himself must be plain and gentle to receive the instructions of such a pure devotee. Okay, that's the other thing. You have to be plain, you not show off, and gentle to receive instructions. If you have too much ego and so on, and somebody tells you, why you have to do that? Why don't you do it, right? So that means we are not wanting to get trained. We should always think, I'm here to get trained. You know, the service should be done. Okay, whoever asks, you should do. Unless you can't give the time, you are rushing or what, that's a different thing. Otherwise, the mood should be positive. Plain and gentle. Gentle to everyone. So if we have gentle behavior to one another, so outside people will say, this is nice. It's attractive. Otherwise, they see these guys all, you know, crazy guys. A pure devotee is completely surrendered soul onto the personality of Godhead. He knows the person of Godhead as the supreme proprietor and others as his servitors. That means he accepts God as supreme and is willing to serve him. That's what the point is. Right? When we are doing devotional service, many times we don't accept the Lord as supreme. We know theoretically, but we don't practically do those things. Because when we accept him as supreme, then we can actually serve him. And by the association of pure devotees, only one can get rid of all sins accumulated by mundane association. So that's the other reason why we have to associate nicely, so that we can help each other clear, get rid of all sins. That's how it is. Our whole thing is congregational chanting, you know. So we should, once in a while, all of you should get together, temple room, and chant kirtan like that. Have to be done. That's our yuga dharma. But you chant at home your japa, but you have to come together to do kirtan. It's very important. So you all should do that once a while, you know. You all should get together, temples nearby, just go and sit and chant for 1 hour per week like that. And you'll see you all make a lot of advancements actually. You get together, read, get together and chant, you'll feel a lot of enthusiasm. So then Prabhupada finally writes, these are the signs of a devotee who is determined to achieve success even in the existing duration of life. There you go. So, something you all have to ponder again. Do I want to go back or what am I going to do? Do I just going to blame everything and everyone but myself? Right? It's an eye-opener. It's something we have to think about. Srila Prabhupada is not forcing us, but he's telling us to be truthful. Because you want to follow, but you don't want to be truthful, you can't achieve it. Yeah. Text 30. Jnanam guyatamam yadya saksha bhagavato ditam anvavochangamishyantaha kripaya dina vatsalaha. As they were leaving, those Bhakti Vedantas, who are very kind to poor-hearted souls, instructed me in that most confidential subject, which is instructed by the personality of Godhead himself. So they taught Bhakti to him. Generally, Jnana and all are mainly you find in monistic philosophies. Jnana. And they always have a mix of jnana with some bhakti. More confidential is that you have more bhakti with little jnana. And then more than that is become pure bhakti. And that was what Krishna explained to Uddhava and how even to Brahma like that. And Arjuna also was given the same, ananya bhakti, pure bhakti. So when the sages were going to leave, so because before they left, they told him what is the most confidential knowledge. It's amazing, huh? They were this is a boy, but they still felt because he was ready for pure devotion service. That's why. So this is up to here. You can see Narada's instruction, his life. What happened in his life? Then next he's going to talk to Vyasadeva again. Text 30. Yeah.
One of the purposes may be regarding Narada Muni, I think Prabhupada says like that opportunity is there for us also. So like we also have the so much association of pure devotees like coming. So what is in our side we is missing or maybe that's what we cover, but like it's the same. Like we could also say, oh, like 3-4 months I heard from Bhagavatam, then why I'm not, let's say,
changing
immediately.
Anarthas. Okay. Anarthas is what's stopping you, and again you are not associating properly. You may want to associate more with material nature than with devotees. And offenses, offenses with devotees, offenses with the holy name, all this has to be, you know, you have to think about it. Why am I doing these offenses so long? Why do I keep doing it? So when you start thinking like that, then you become more cautious and more strict the way you chant. And then that will lead to more purification. And then that will give you good intelligence to associate properly, and then you'll avoid making offenses and then clearing anarthas. It's all structured. It's very scientific. It's just that our application is what's causing us to make mistakes. Huh? Anarthas is because we have, and then, you know, like weakness of heart, associating not properly, right? We have ego issues, right? I will only listen if this person speaks, you know, things like that. I will only do it when this person asks me. All these are childish things. The whole thing should be, I want to get out of this material world. Then if this is a good instruction, if it's going to connect me with Krishna, why I can't do it? Why should that instruction only come from another person? Right? So this thing has to click, and that's anartha actually. And it's based on our ego.
And also, Guru, Narada's first realization is, I'm not this body.
Mm.
So you fully realized it. So we don't have the realization.
True.
So we want to associate properly, I mean, as you said.
Yeah, but Narada came to that position because he associated first. Mm. And then he took the remnants. And because he didn't commit any offenses, everything had positive effect.
There was in fact no distractions.
Mm.
There were so many distractions.
The point is, he didn't commit offenses of all those things, and he heard nicely also. Huh? Mm. And
no, we were saying you don't have any distractions.
Of course.
We have.
We allow ourselves.
At that time, there was no chanting for them, and most of the time we make nama parat while chanting.
So you are saying only because you chanted you were offensive. Before that you were pure.
Chances of doing Namabra is more like very hard to concentrate on each and every.
So then don't concentrate.
That is an aparad.
Then don't do it, right?
It's like
somebody told
this is chicken and
egg. Somebody told Prabhupada, like, by chanting, I'm committing offenses, then I'm not chanting at all.
Yeah.
Don't commit anything.
That's what he's saying. What Prabhupada said. No, the means is chanting and the end is chanting also. So that's not the right understanding. We chant to get Krishna, and then once you get Krishna, you chant to glorify Him. So both are the same. But the chanting must be done properly. Unless you attempt to chant nicely, how can you chant nicely? Right? It's the same. In the Olympics, you got the runners, Olympic marathon champion, all those. They practice, right? They didn't just first day go Olympics and win gold medal. No. How much they practice to perfect it, right? So, same with us. Yeah, we're going to make some mistakes. Initially, you know, you have so many anarthas, but the point is, by chanting, the anarthas should get down. It may take a lifetime for most of us, but we should be sincere about it. That's the point Srila Prabhupada is making. The attempt must be genuine. Of course, initially you are genuine, then after that you became relaxed, and then finally you give up. Right? Most of the time we are surrendered to not chanting sincerely. Well, that's due to laziness, yeah? All those manda, sumanda, mattabhaga, all those unfortunate. These are bad qualities. We tend to highlight bad qualities in our life. And then we then hide behind the bad qualities and say, we have this problem, that problem. The point should be, yeah, I have this problem, but the holy name is going to purify me. And then you do that, and then don't commit offenses based on that. Otherwise, it'll be the eighth offense, you know, committing on the strength of the holy name. Yeah. Yeah. So we have to do, you know. It's like Srila Prabhupada said, like if you take one step, Krishna will take 100 steps or 10 steps like that towards you. So you just do little bit, he'll come running to you like that. So if you chant sincerely, you are guaranteed to be purified. It's a guarantee. So why are you questioning it?
Just comparing that age where they didn't have to chant but they just listened to Bhagavatam.
No, he is hearing and chanting, yeah? Shravanam and serving also.
I think in Satya Yoga also, if you mentally make an offense, it's...
Yeah, and in Satya Yoga is even worse. You cannot think of committing offense to any of the person you don't like. Immediately you get the reaction. Anyway, in Kali Yuga, you think good of other person, you get credits.
I wish we have that in Kali Yuga.
What? Then everyone will be dead, no? Yeah. Everybody will be either dead or burnt. Alright, let's continue. Text 31, yeah?
I was like watching one video of Kamal Krishna Maharaj that actually was telling. He was so fixed and convinced. He said, like, anybody takes up this chanting for 1 year, somebody sincerely do, I guarantee that you will become happy. Otherwise, I will give you $10,000.
Yeah, these are gods, demigods. Yeah.
So I was like, Maharaj was like so convinced. So the process is potent. It doesn't matter whether it's Satyuga or Kaliyuga. It's up to us to take it.
Yeah, I mean, these processes are all valid in every age. The potency may not be so effective in the age, but it's all valid. It can be, chanting can be done even in Kali Yuga. Alright, text 31. Yenaivaham bhagavato vasudevasya vedasaha mayanubhavam avidam yena gacchanti tat padam. By that confidential knowledge, I could understand clearly the influence of the energy of Lord Shri Krishna, the creator, maintainer and annihilator of everything. By knowing that, one can return to Him and personally meet Him. Personally meet Him. So he could see all the different gunas, all the different shaktis, everything and the influence of the knowledge of the Lord's powers and sweetness. Maya Nubhavam. Amazing. Srila Prabhupada says, by devotion service or by the most confidential knowledge, one can understand very easily how the different energies of the Lord are working. One part of energy is manifesting material world, the other superior part of his energy is manifesting the spiritual world. Then a few lines down, the living entity serving material energy are struggling hard for existence. What verse is that? And the happiness which is presented to them is illusory. But those in the spiritual energy are placed under the direct service of the Lord in eternal life, complete knowledge and perpetual bliss. Continuously blissful. So, Prabhupada says, the Lord desires, as he has directly said in the Bhagavad Gita, that all conditioned souls rotting in the kingdom of the material energy come back to him by giving up all engagements in the material world. That means all engagement you give up. Of course, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, don't give up your duties, you know, because that's the easiest way to get purified. Yeah. But ultimately, the reason is he wants us to give up all engagement when we become qualified. This is the most confidential part of the knowledge, to give up everything and surrender to Krishna. And then Prabhupada says, but this can be understood only by the pure devotees, and only such devotees enter the kingdom of God. To see him personally and serve him personally. And the example is Narada Muni. Yeah, ultimately that is the case, but Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you don't give up like that, because false renunciation will not work. So therefore you have to perform your duty as an offering to Krishna.
So you can attend pure devotional service.
Yes.
Being in that ashram.
Yes. Yes. That's how we are supposed to do. Ultimately he wants us to give up, you know. If you can do it, you can, but Prabhupada also qualifies that only pure devotees can do those things.
Also for us, Yukta Vairagya is the one recommended.
Yes. Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhi Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. So, that's how we do. We just try to do things, connect everything to Krishna. Okay. So from text 32 onwards till 40, Narada advises Vyasadev. Okay. What to reveal in the writing, what to hear. Okay. Text 32.
Etat sam sujitam brahmam stapatraya chikitsitam yat ishvare bhagavati karma brahmani bhavitam.
O Brahmana, Vyasadev, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So Prabhupada writes Sri Krishna there. Because ultimately that's what it is. It's based on that. Ete chamsa kala pumsha. Okay? Everything comes from Krishna. So. Sri Narada Muni personally experienced the most feasible and practical way to open the path of salvation or get relief from all miseries of life is to hear submissively the transcendental activities of the Lord from the right and bona fide sources. This is the only remedial process. Bus. The entire material existence is full of miseries. Then Prabhupada says, foolish people have manufactured out of their tiny brains many remedial measures for removing the threefold miseries pertaining to the body and mind, pertaining to the natural disturbances and in relation with other living beings. These are the three kleshas. Adi, Adi Bhautika, Adi Atmika and Adi Devatka. The whole world is struggling very hard to exist out of these miseries, but men do not know that without the sanction of the Lord, no plan or no remedial measure can actually bring about the desired peace and tranquility. So it's not going to help, no matter what plans they make, the suffering will continue because it's not sanctioned by the Lord. So no matter what we can do, whatever we want to do, we think we protect, if the Lord doesn't sanction that method, it's not going to work. Even though you can say, this is my child, I want to protect, it's not going to work. If they do a mistake, they're going to have to suffer it. Yeah. So Prabhupada says, we should know for certain that the Lord is the ultimate sanctioning officer. And we must therefore dedicate our attempts to the mercy of the Lord. See, it's the mercy of the Lord. It's not you desire and the Lord comes and say, okay, I'll do it. No, it's His mercy. That means it's up to, just like we have free will, we make decision, it's the Lord's free will also. He decides, I'll take them or not. For the ultimate success or to get rid of obstacles on the path of success. The Lord is all-pervading, all-powerful, omniscient and omnipresent. So therefore He can do that. So He is the ultimate sanctioning agent of all good or bad effects. That is the Paramatma. We should therefore learn to dedicate our activities onto the mercy of the Lord and accept Him either as impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, or the Supreme Person of Godhead. It does not matter what one is. One must dedicate everything in the service of the Lord. If one is a learned scholar, all this, then he should employ his learning to establish the supremacy of the Lord. Try to study the energy of the Lord in every sphere of life. So that's trying to connect Krishna in whatever we do. Do not decry Him and try to become like Him or take His position simply by fragmental accumulation of knowledge. That means not complete knowledge. Little here, little there, and then you think you know. Doesn't work like that. Then Prabhupada says, if we are in a position of a statesperson, warrior, politician, whatever, then we should try to establish the Lord's supremacy in statesmanship. Now these people try to deny that. Governing state, independent of God and religion or whatever. Then he says, fight for the cause of the Lord as Sri Arjuna did. Oh, very powerful, and Prabhupada is preaching strongly. In the beginning, Sri Arjuna, a great fighter, declined to fight, but when he was convinced by the Lord and the fighting was necessary, Sri Arjuna changed his decision and fought for his cause. Similarly, if one is a businessman, an industrialist, an agriculturist, etc., then one should spend his hard-earned money for the cause of the Lord. Think always that the money which is accumulated is the wealth of the Lord. Wealth is considered to be the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and the Lord is Narayana, or the husband of Lakshmi. Try to engage Lakshmi in the service of Lord Narayana, be happy. That is the way to realize the Lord in every sphere of life. The reason Prabhupada says that, engage Lakshmi, is because for most people, Lakshmi is more close to their heart than life itself. No, like when thieves come and say, give your money, give your... You may not give those things, and you can die also. They'll kill you. Then they take him. So money and all is more closer than life itself. Because they earn, they use their blood to earn, and so it becomes very dear. Money becomes very dear. And then they earn so much. You know, some people earn 100,000, 200, 300, 1 million, 2 million. Still, they are not happy. Money becomes honey, becomes nectar, cannot give up the nectar. But then they become miserly actually, become kripanas, so they cannot even spend. And then they live in house, like in Seattle, be cold, they won't turn on the heater. Isn't it? They'll set like 50 degrees, 40, like that. It's outside 30, they put 10 degrees and then they sleep. Yeah, they'll wear jacket, everything, and they save. They think they're saving money. Well, what's the value, right? Why you work so hard then? I can never understand. And then summertime will be very hot. They'll put the temperature maybe 85, 90 degrees to kick AC. Otherwise, they'll stay in the hot. It's okay, we can tolerate. No? All false, but the real reason is to save money. And how much do you save? Not much. How much can you save actually if you do all this? Right? How much? $100. Yeah, maybe $100.
But $1,200 a year to
be. Yeah, so. No, the point is you say 1200, but you are earning so much. What is the value again?
That is true.
Unless you take the 1200 and give to Krishna and keep the rest of your money for yourself, what is the value still? Useless. But that's how people think. And they think they did a great service.
Actually, somewhere I heard that misers are the biggest donors.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because they donate everything at the end of the life.
Yeah. Okay. But that's... I've heard... that I know some people who have lots of money and then... their family members are not even devotees, and then they don't want to give the temple. And then devotees have told them, if you die, the money will go to your children and all, then they are not favorable. They say, it's okay. Yeah. People are like that. Because they are so attached to the money, they want to see it go within their family. Which means they don't really understand the philosophy. And some of these are devotees also.
So Lakshmi without, just if you, like without numbness, it becomes
chanchala. Chanchala, yeah. So Madhava is saying, Lakshmi without Narayan becomes chanchala. It's true. Finally, you're going to lose, like you said, when he dies, goes. The state will take, or someone you hate is your relative will take. Isn't it? Yeah. Generally, that's what happens. If you are very wealthy, you have many relatives and friends. And then when you are dying, they all come, waiting to see you die. And then they will think, why don't he die quickly? Isn't it? It's amazing how people are. Oh, then they say, now I have peace, the guy is dead. And then they wait for the will to be read. And then if the will, their name is not there, they say, this guy's useless guy. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Useless guy. You know, I helped him so much, he didn't give me anything. This is Maria. Huh?
So in my mother's side, my mother has like total 10 siblings.
Mm.
My grandfather, after he passed away, in one first year they did the program.
Mm.
So of course, maybe they served all the other things. But at the end of the day, all the sisters, family members, they're all sitting and talking. I was thinking they will really relish the pastimes and how really grandfather helped them, education, everything. But actually, they were all fighting about, okay, he gave this to her, not to me.
Yeah. See?
All these things, they were all fighting so much. I was so amazed, actually.
That's what the world is, Mataji. It's reality, and we shouldn't be denying it. We should be afraid that we can become like that. So you should get out from that.
The Prabhu was saying once that the Western people more attracted by sex. And Indians more in general.
Yeah, generally, yeah, you're right. Westerners are more sensual.
Yeah.
Indians
are like generally poor.
Yeah.
Generally, so they're attached to money.
Yeah.
Attachment to money, just in the Indian society.
Only Indian society?
I mean, more, I think.
No, Indians are very clever. They're attached to money, money brings money. Wine and
yeah, no, but actually they make money through those sinful things.
I didn't say Prabhupada said that.
Purports, yeah.
Money brings poor things.
Yeah, yeah. Money, if you don't use it properly, it's going to attract sinful things. Yeah. But actually, they're not thinking like that. Yeah, they just want to accumulate. Yeah, it's
they just want to save for.
Yeah. For what?
That's what they don't even enjoy themselves. So.
No.
Yeah, for future generation.
Actually, the Indians can, their best thing they're good at is austerity. But they misuse the austerity to earn money.
Yeah.
It should be used for Krishna, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the Westerners, their body is used for sensual enjoyment. So that's why they do that automatically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the Indians have lost the goal of life.
Yeah.
So they want to be like the Westerners. So they come here, but they don't know how to enjoy also.
Yeah,
so they're austere living in a coal house. So,
working long hours.
Not about you. No, I'm saying that's how they are. It's a fact. You go any Indian home, you see that. Temperatures, winter is done, summer is high. Then you wonder, you know, why 90 degrees in summertime? It is. Next time you all go to your thermostat, you think carefully, why are you doing this? It's true, you know, you have to ask yourself, why you buy and do, then just build a hut outside and stay. You know? Why buy a house then? You have to be practical. You live nicely, but you do it, if you have Krishna as the goal, then you live nicely. What is the big deal? People see you're a normal person. Otherwise, they think you're something wrong, right? Yeah. It's true. You know, I know, like, you know, some friends told me, like, the Indians who run motels and so on, they buy the motel, right? Now, the guy who sells him, he'll sell it at when it's broken down completely. But he'll show his profit statement. See, I made 1 million profit, so I will sell this property for 1.5 million. Because I made 1 million, so this is good business. So the guy who buys it, they will buy it. This is going on for years, so they buy it at 1.5 million. And then he'll spend extra 1 million to fix all the problem. Then he spend now 2.5 million, right? Then he will run the business the same way the other guy ran. He won't fix anything until he makes his 2.5 million. And then he'll show the list to the next buyer. So I'm going to sell you for 3 million. That's how it's going on. You're laughing, right? That's how they do. I was surprised also. They will never fix it. Unless the government does an inspection and say fix it, then they'll fix it. What is the value of getting all these material things? You have to think carefully why we do this. What is our goal? If you have a family, what is your goal? Krishna. Yeah, make everyone Krishna conscious. Yeah, but it doesn't say anything about saving this. Right? Prabhupada doesn't mention. So then Prabhupada says, one should not think that for a moment that the realization of Narada was childish imagination only. It is not like that. It is so realized by the expert and erudite scholars, and that is the real import of the word samsuchitam. Samsuchitam means decided by the learned, or those who are very qualified. So we should take it for what they say. So the sages who left Narad Muni, they actually gave him the remedy to overcome the three kleshas. So that is the remedy. So we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow. What time? 9:30 we'll start. Text 33. 9:30. Yeah. Sunday is 10 o'clock.